Okay, for those who were here last week, we began our exploration of the topic of Purim. And I want to continue that through a particular angle today. I was speaking to Mrs. Cement, and she had recommended that I speak about bitachon. Bitachon in the context of dating, marriage, life. I'm not going to speak so overtly about any of those, but I guess I'll be speaking about all of them at the same time. And each of us will apply it in our own way to our life. I want to begin with a story. The story is told about the great Mashgiach of Shlomo Volbe, author of the Alei Shor, that he once came to one of his rebbeim, the great Mashgiach of Chatzkel Levenstein. And he said, Rebbe, I have a student who's making me crazy, all sorts of questions, all sorts of uncertainties, all sorts of doubts about himself, about God, about mitzvos, about everything. And I want to talk to you about it. So he sat with his Rebbe, and they spoke, Emunah, Bitachon, all the good, juicy topics. And as Rav Shlomo Volbe got up to leave the room, he's walking out of the room, and Rav Chatzkel stops him. Rav Chatzkel Levenstein stops his student, and he says to him, Rav Shlomo, let me ask you something. He said, do you believe in God? And Rav Volbe was very taken back by that. Rebbe, do I? No, I'm here to talk. You know, sometimes like, oh, I have a question for my friend, you know. He's like, no, Rebbe, like, I believe in Hashem. He's like, oh, okay. So Rav Volbe starts to exit the room again, and Rav Chatzkel calls out to him again. He says, Rav Shlomo, but let me, like, answer me sincerely. Do you really believe in Hashem? Like, do you actually believe in Hashem? Rav Volbe was very, again, he was not a young man at the time. He was an established Rav, a respected Mashkiach. And he says, yes, Rabbi, of course. He says, of course I believe in Hashem. So Rav Chatzkel looks at him and he says, so then go tell it to your students. If you really believe in this, if you really believe in God, if you believe in Torah, if you believe in what Jews believe, if you believe in this, so go and tell it to your student. My friends, I don't think Jewish people, and again, if you disagree with what I'm saying, we have to have a longer conversation about it, and I'd be happy to do so. I don't think any Jew has emunah issues. What I mean by that is I think every Jew, arguably every human being, believes in God, believes in a higher power. The challenge that we face is bitachon issues. Because if you understand, and I know Rabbi Fine is teaching a class on this, you should sign up if you're not in it yet. The difference between emunah and bitachon is the difference, explains the Chazon Ish, between theory and practice. In theory, we don't have an issue with God. It's in practice that we sometimes run into some of our struggles in understanding how the Ribbono Shel'olam works. And bitachon means reliance, dependency. Emunah means I believe that there's a creator. No problem. Every one of us stood at Har Sinai, or at least our tradition tells us our souls were at Har Sinai. We heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak. In that moment, our souls were stamped with an indelible belief in Hashem. The Chedushei Arim, the first Ge'er Rebbe, says that at every Shmona Esrei, we conclude that first section, Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham means that Avram Avinu went out with great perseverance and he discovered Hashem. And he asked Hashem, he said, Hashem, I suffered a lot to find you in the world. Please, Magen Avraham, protect that which I have found. And the way the Ger Rebbe, the first Ger Rebbe, the Chedushei Arim understands it, is that's what Magen Avraham means. Avraham worked hard to find it. He said, please ensure that my children will have faith. And Hashem said, fine. At Har Sinai, we got an extra little dose of that when Hashem spoke to us directly, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. It's not a commandment, it's a statement of fact. I am Hashem your God. We know that. We believe that. But we struggle with it because there's a corollary, there's a second component to it called bitachon. Bitachon means, can I trust in you, Hashem? I know you exist, but do I trust that you have my best interest in mind? Do I believe that you're looking out for me? Do I believe that you're providing for me? Can I fall and you'll catch me? That's bitachon. Mishenichlas Adar Marbin Besimcha. This year we have a double Adar. Many days to prepare ourselves to feel the joy of Adar. So let's talk about the relationship for a moment between Simcha and bitachon. What's the relationship between the two? What's the relationship between a person who has bitachon and the impact that it has on their simcha? So I think, on a certain level, it's self-evident. To the degree that a person feels supported, that's what bitachon is, when I feel that Hashem is carrying me, when I feel that I'm in Hashem's embrace, when I feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not forgotten me, so then I'm able to live a joyous life. But when I feel, God forbid, that things are just slipping through the cracks, and things are not working out the way that I envision it's supposed to work or supposed to be, and I feel that Hashem cares more about my friend than about me, or Hashem is too busy with someone else's problem to deal with whatever I'm going through, so then that person has a lack of simcha in their life. The Zohar says besimcha is the same letters as machshava, because a lot of it has to do with one's mindset. Do I realize, do I internalize, I know it in theory, but do I internalize it? Is it really penetrating my mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of me? That I can turn to Hashem, that I can lean on Hashem, I can talk to Hashem, I can count on Hashem, and while I don't always understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, but I feel supported. And therefore I have simcha and I have peace of mind. Let's take a look at the first source together. In the Chovos HaLevavos, one of the classics of Jewish philosophy, the Shar HaBitachon. Just by a show of hands, how many people have ever opened the Shar HaBitachon? Okay, a lot of people, okay? The Shar HaBitachon begins, Ach Mohus HaBitachon Hi Menuchas Nefesh HaBoteach. One of the first things we learn in the Shar HaBitachon is that the Mohus, the very nature of a person, how do I know if I have Bitachon? If I want to do a litmus test, I want to do an experiment on myself. How do I know if I have bitachon? How can I test myself to determine if I am a person of bitachon, of trust, of faith, that I actually live with that reliance upon Hashem? And the answer is, and again, I say this with all of the sensitivity, and I'm going to say this out loud because it's important to be said. I say this with all of the sensitivity to the range, the spectrum, the ups, the downs, the mental health challenges that people face. And I don't want to just lump it all together. Because yes, there are certain biological factors that leads to a person's anxiety or uncertainties about life and about many things. But one of the signs of a person from the spiritual spectrum of understanding what is a person of bitachon look like, what defines a person of bitachon, says the Chovos HaLevavos, Menuchas HaNefesh. Am I nervous about the situation, or do I feel that God has it under control? Am I anxious? Do I feel that somehow Hashem has overlooked me? A person who relies on Hashem trusts and knows with peace of mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of me. It may not be exactly the way that I want to be taken care of, but do I trust that Hashem has my best interest in mind? Do I trust that God knows me better than I know myself? These are hard concepts to live with. Because we all have a vision for ourselves. We all have a timeline for ourselves. We all have the things that we want when we want them, and it doesn't always go that way. And a sign of a Baal Bitachon, or a Baalat Bitachon, in your case, is a person who lives with Menuchas HaNefesh. A person who's able to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to trust that if Hashem made a commitment to me, continues the Chovos HaLevavos, that Hashem will deliver on that commitment. That Hashem knows what's best for me. It's not always easy to live that way. The Maharal says, Simcha, Mishnechlas Adar Marvin B'Simcha, Simcha is related to Shleimus. To the degree that a person feels their life is complete, a person has Simcha. To the degree that I feel that I'm missing things, a person has a lack of Simcha. But unfortunately, the reality is in our life, we spend too much time focusing on what we imagine we're supposed to have, instead of appreciating what we do have. Ezehu Ashir Hasameach Bechalko Pirkei Avos. What's the definition of a person who's wealthy? A person who's happy with their lot. You could also actually reverse or invert the Maimer Chazal. Ezehu Sameach Mishnech Chazal Demar B'Simcha. We're supposed to be happy now. Ezehu, who is considered happy? A person who realizes how Ashir their Chalko is. You know what it means? You realize how rich we are? I'm not talking about dollars and cents. Some of us have different financial circumstances, obviously. You realize how rich we are? How fortunate we are? On our worst day, do you realize how good we have it? And again, I'm not lacking sympathy or empathy for anyone who's going through a really hard time. But do we focus on what's going right? Or do we obsess over the thing that's missing in my life? And I recognize that my life is not shalim because I want it to be a certain way. And I rob myself of simcha. Tzaddikim say, you know what Ashir stands for? Ayin, Shin, Yud, Resh. Einayim, Shinayim, Yadayim, Raglayim. If you have eyes, you have teeth, you have hands, you have legs, without being painfully dramatic, how many soldiers have lost limbs in the last 152 days? If you have a hand, if you have an eye that can see, even with glasses, you realize how lucky we are? You know how sameach we should be? Eizahu ashir ha-sameach b'chalko. Eizahu sameach, the person who realizes how ashir, how rich, how fortunate my chelek is, how much I have. To not allow that mindset called amalek to creep into our minds and to question everything, to place doubts in everything. Does Hashem know what he's doing? Does Hashem have a plan for me? That's called amalek. So Deacon point out that the gematria of the word amalek is the same as the gematria of the word suffik, which means doubt. Because all of our insecurities and all of our anxieties and all of our doubts and all of our fears in some way is rooted in that mentality, that mindset called amalek. It's actually amazing. It comes up in so many places. I'll just give you one other example. And say for Daniel. Daniel, who actually plays a role in the Megillah, according to Chazal. The messenger who's going back and forth between Mordechai and Esther, which Megillah calls Hasach, the Gemara says is Daniel. In Sefer Daniel, take a look, it's an amazing pasuk in the 8th chapter, Daniel has a vision. And he says, I saw myself in Shushan HaBira, right? Capital city of Purim. I saw myself in Shushan HaBira, which is in the Medina, which is in the country, the district of Elam, Ayin Yud Lam and Mem. And in my dream, in my vision, I saw myself standing by a river. And do you know what the name of that river is? The river in Sefer Daniel in the 8th chapter is called Ulai. Ulai. What does Ulai mean? Perhaps. It's so interesting that in Shushan HaBira, the headquarters of Achashverosh of Haman, where the plot against the Jews, of what's going to be, the ultimate question of Jewish survival, that was what's on the table. Are we going to make it? Is Hashem going to provide for us? Are things going to work out? Daniel in his dream sees himself standing by a river, by that great divide, that body of water, that's called Ulai, maybe. That's an amalek mindset, where everything becomes a maybe. Maybe Hashem does care about me, but maybe he doesn't. Maybe Hashem does provide for me, but what if he doesn't? Maybe Hashem has a plan for humanity, but what if he doesn't? That's an amalek mindset that can be so destructive to our simchas hachayim, to our menuchas hanefesh, to our bitachon, to our shlemus. I want to ask us the question, again, that we started with in that story with Rav Shlomo Volbe and his rabbi, Rav Chatzko Levenstein. Because I've been asking this question a lot since October 7th. I ask it of myself. I ask it of people around me. Not as a challenge, not as a, God forbid, an attack. But to ask ourselves, in light of the uncertainty that we face in the world right now, to ask ourselves very, very simply, the way Rav Chatzkel asked Rav Shlomo Volbe, do you believe in Hashem? Rav Volbe was so put off by that question. You should be put off by that question. If someone asked you, do you really believe in Hashem? Of course I do. What do you mean, do I believe in Hashem? Do you really believe in Torah? Do you believe in the Avos and the Imaos? Do you believe in Har Sinai? Do you believe in Kriyas Yamsuf? I maybe even asked this question to Shir and Stern, I don't remember, a couple of months ago. Do we believe in these things? And if we do, so how does that manifest in how I live my life? If I really believe that Hashem exists, so why am I not prepared to lean? And I'm not saying it's easy, it's very hard, it can be very hard. But if we really believe it as an idea, so how does that express itself in our daily behaviors? That's what the Chovas HaLevavos is saying, a person of bitachon is able to live life with the realization that I could take a breath, that there is a plan. It may not be exactly the way I envision it, but I trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu to run his world, if I really believe that he's out there. The Gemara in source number 2, Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara says, for 2.5 years, shtei shanim umechsa. For 2.5 years, nechleku beis Shammai ubeis Hillel. A raging machlokas took place. 2.5 years, they debated. Halalu omrim, one group said, noach lo la'adam shalo nivra yoser mishanivra. Noach lo la'adam, it would be easier for a person to not exist than to exist. And the other group said, noach lo la'adam shanivra yoser mishalo nivra. Other group said, it's good that we exist. A machlokas, should we exist or not? A very strange debate. For 2.5 years, this is what Shammai and Hillel, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, were arguing about. For 2.5 years, they came to the class every day. For 2.5 years, they had public debates whether or not a person should exist or not. And the Gemara concludes at the end. At the end of 2.5 years of presenting arguments and presentations and, I don't know, PowerPoints and slideshows, finally they put it to a vote. And the Gemara says where it's bolded, Nimnu v'gamru, they took a vote and they decided, Noach lo la'adam shalo nivra yoser mishanivra. They voted and decided, Noach lo la'adam, it would be better for a person not to exist. And the Gemara concludes, and now that we exist, achshav shenivra, since we exist, we might as well make the most of it and try to make a cheshbon nefesh and be a thoughtful person and live a meaningful life. What exactly was this debate? You know how offensive this debate is? Imagine Hashem watching this debate. Hashem is watching as the people he created are debating whether or not they want to exist. And then they vote at the end of 2.5 years and they vote, you know what, it would be better not to exist. What kind of machlokas is this? What was this conversation? The Ishbitzer Rebbe explained, Tzaddikim explained, they were not debating whether or not it's better to exist. Obviously it's better to exist. You know what the proof is? We exist. Hashem knows what he's doing. They were grappling with the very honest question of Noach, is it easy to exist? And you know what they concluded after 2.5 years? And I find it very comforting. It's not so easy to exist. Life is not always so easy. It's not so easy to exist. But we continue to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we hit those bumps in the road, and Hashem tends us on a roundabout path, and we remind ourselves what it says in Pirkei Avos, against your will you were created, and against your will you'll be taken from this world. Al karchach atachai, against your will you live. The Baal HaTanya said, you know what that means, against your will you live? It means against your will you're forced to play this game. We're thrown into it, whether we like it or not. But al karchach, but against your will, atachai, Hashem sustains you also. Because Hashem has a plan for you. Hashem gives you life because Hashem has a plan for you. And our job is to say, you know what? It's not always so easy. It's okay to say that out loud. But at the same time, Hashem wants us to be here. And therefore, I work on my bitachon, and I work on my bitachon, and I work on my bitachon, and I try in whatever way I can to trust the process, to trust that Hashem knows what he's doing. Let me ask you, were we ever in danger on Purim? Sounds like a crazy question. Were the Jewish people actually in any danger on Purim? Was there a point where we were not going to be saved? The Gemara has a very interesting conversation between Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his students. Achashverosh is making a big party. The 70 years of the prophecy of Jeremiah is up. Yirmiyahu's Nebu is up. Achashverosh thinks that the Jews are forgotten. The Jews are concerned that they're forgotten. They end up at Achashverosh's party. There's this terrible threat of Haman. Were we ever actually in any danger of being forgotten by Hashem? Look at this Gemara. It's unbelievable. Shalu Talmidav Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. The students asked Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Mipnei ma nischaivu soneyin shel Yisrael shebaoso hadur kalaya. Why were literally the enemies of the Jewish people, but it means the Jewish people. Why were the Jewish people of that generation worthy of kalaya, of destruction? What did we do that was so terrible, so offensive, that our lives were handed over to Haman? Amar lahem, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said back to his students, Imru atem, what do you think? So they said to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, well, the Jews, they went to Achashverosh's party. They celebrated at Achashverosh's party. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says back to them, but if that's true, then only the Jews of Shushan Habira, the people of Shushan, were the ones who were at the party. Not the Jews in New York City. So they said, okay, Rabbi, you tell us why the Jews deserve to be destroyed. So he says, actually, it was something that had happened in the previous period of time. He says they had bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. Nebuchadnezzar had made a statue. A bit of a discussion, was it real Avodah Zarah? Was it just a sign of honor? But either way, the Jews, not just in Shushan, but the Jews had submitted themselves before the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, before the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. So the students turn back to Rishon Bar Yochai and they say, okay, Rabbi, so if that's so, so then why weren't we destroyed? And listen to what he responds, where it's bolded in source number 3. He says, well, the truth is, Heim lo asu ela lifnim, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo asa iman ela lifnim. Or maybe it should be, maybe the word should be pronounced lifanim. Says Rishon Bar Yochai, because when the Jews were bowing down to that idol, they didn't really mean it in their hearts. They only did it on the pnim, on the surface. They gave the impression that they were bowing down to something other than Hashem, but they didn't really mean that. So Hashem also gave them the superficial impression that they were going to be killed, but they were never actually going to be killed. The aveira was only on the surface, it wasn't so deep. So too, the threat against us was also only on the surface. It never was really a threat. Hashem never actually intended for us to be handed over to Haman. My friends, that's an incredible Gemara. The Gemara says that in the scariest moment in Jewish history, when we were in the hands of Haman, Rishon Bar Yochai says we were never actually in danger. We were never actually forgotten. We were never actually going to be destroyed. It's not that we were going to be destroyed and then Hashem changed his mind after we did tshuva, as we would imagine when we read the Megillah. It's that never for a second did Hashem actually decide. Hashem just scared us. It was all on the surface. It was a superficial presentation. It looked really scary, and that's how our life looks sometimes. Understandably so. But it was never actually a threat. You understand? It was never actually real. It never penetrated to the depths. It was never something that we actually had to be afraid of. The Gemara describes in Maseches Shabbos what the original Kabbalah Satorah looked like. The Jews come to the mountain. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts a mountain over our head. And Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael in source number 4, Vayisyatzvu betachtis ahar. They stood at the foot of the mountain, which Chazal understand to mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where it's bolded, Malamed shekafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleihem es ahar kegigis. Hashem suspended the mountain over our heads. And Hashem said to Bnei Yisrael, Im atem mekavlim haTorah, if you take my Torah, b'seder, mutav, then we're good. But if you reject my Torah, I'm going to drop this mountain on your head. So I ask you again, were we ever in danger at Har Sinai? Was Hashem actually going to drop a mountain on the heads of the Jewish people? The great Hasidic master of Naftali of Rapshitz said that if you look in the Gemara says elsewhere that when a person begins a shir, when a Rebbe gives a shir, so he's supposed to begin with a milsa, what the Gemara calls a milsa de bidichusa. You're supposed to start with a light matter. You tell a story, you tell a joke. You start with something that's a little more, you know, just to get people engaged. So the Rapshitzer Rebbe asked, what was Hashem's opening joke at Har Sinai? You're supposed to start with a joke. You're supposed to get people to smile at the beginning of the year. You have a good story, or a good quip, a good joke, right? An interesting question. So the Rapshitzer asked, what was Hashem's joke at Har Sinai? He said, this was the joke at Har Sinai. The Jews came to Har Sinai, and Hashem picked up a mountain and held it over their head and said, if you don't take my Torah, I'm going to drop this mountain on your head. And the Jews looked at Hashem with fear in their eyes. And they said, Rabbeinu Shalom, really? You're really going to... Hashem's like, no, I'm joking, relax. I'm not going to drop a mountain on your head. I'm not going to destroy Klal Yisrael. It was all on the surface. That's the story of our lives. Those moments where we feel, Hashem, are you with me? Are you against me? Are you on my team? Are we working together? Is there a plan here for my success? Do you have my best interest in mind? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, listen, sometimes I have to coerce you, as it were, a little bit to enrich your bitachon. Right? But I always have your best interest in mind. I'm just trying to get you to tune in, to check in, to pay attention to me as much as I'm paying attention to you. What's the last Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? What's the last phrase in Pirkei Avos? Pirkei Avos is the development of ourselves, right? Jewish character development. That's what Pirkei Avos is, more or less from beginning to end, molding the ethical religious personality. How does Pirkei Avos end? What is the final teaching in the molding of the personality of a Jew? The last three words in Pirkei Avos, Parakei, the last three words, Lefum Tzara Agra. in accordance with the tsa'ara, with the challenge, with the difficulty, is the agra, is the schar, is the reward. We don't like that Mishnah. I don't want it to be that way. I want life to be easy. But they voted and they decided, you know what? It's not so easy. It's not so easy. So then why are we here? Why is Hashem playing the game this way? And the answer is, because in some way that we don't fully understand, and this is the challenge of our entire lives, seen throughout the entire Torah, seen throughout the Megillah, seen throughout our life experience, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking us to trust Him, to trust the process, to lean into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's go back to the first journey of the first Jew who walked with Hashem. Source number 5. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha, u'bimoladtecha v'esavicha la'artz ha'sharecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Avram, we're going for a journey together. I want you to leave everything that you've known. That's incredibly uncomfortable. I want you to abandon your family. I want you to abandon the familiar streets. I want to put you in an environment that is so uncomfortable for you. And where are we going? Says the Pasuk, El Ha'aretz Asher Ereka, to the place that I will show you. And you read this Pasuk, and you say, Nebuch, poor Avram Avinu. Where is he supposed to go? Where is he supposed to go? Where are the instructions? Where is Avram told to go? And the answer is, he's not told exactly where to go at all. He's told to just go. Well, how do I get there? Ela aretz asher areka. It will unfold. As time goes on, it will unfold, and you'll be paying attention, and you'll figure out how to get there. Well, my friend got there a different way. That's nice. Here's how you're going to get there. I can't even tell you, says Hashem, exactly how it's going to go. But stick it out, travel together, and you'll get there. And look what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says in source number 6. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, and if you're willing to walk with me to an undefined place, on an uncharted path, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will make you so great, I will bless you, your life will be enriched. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, source number 6, I will bless you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bracha zo, this bracha, keneged mashahelem mimenu haaretz. Avram is so greatly blessed because of his willingness to walk with Hashem, despite or because or with all of that uncertainty. He'elam mimenu haaretz. The land he was going to was he'elam mimenu, was hidden from him. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what the game plan was. V'lo hodiyu kodem letzeiso. He was not informed before he left where he was heading. V'nisayon ze gadolhu. And that's a big nisayon. To trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get me there is a big nisayon. That's a scary thing. When I'm trying to get the job, I'm trying to land the shidduch, I'm trying to figure out where to live in life, I'm trying to figure out what comes next, how to take that next step. But I walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem says, if you're willing to trust me and go together, to be traveling partners in this world, sheyotza me'artzo el asada mibli das, as the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, that Avram left home, he hit the road, he walked out into that field of life without any knowledge on Yifne. Where am I going? I don't know exactly how this works. V'hu lo hirher. And he did not question. He did not complain. He did not challenge Hashem. He did not suspect that Hashem didn't know what he was doing. He walked with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Lech lecha, as Rashi says, Lehanascha uletovascha. Lehanascha means for your pleasure. Sometimes when we walk with Hashem, it feels great. And sometimes it doesn't feel great. Hana, it's not pleasurable, because it can be very challenging. It could be a big nisayon. But litovascha, but it's for my benefit. Hashem knows how to do good. Lech lecha, lehanascha uletovascha. Sometimes it feels more enjoyable, sometimes less. It's not always easy. They voted that it's not so easy to exist. So then why did Hashem put us here? Hashem says, because we can go through this together, we can come out enriched from the process. Trust the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bitachon, have the menuchas ha-nefesh, to be able to continue to journey through life with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu by your side. I want to share with you an incredible insight that I heard from Rabbi Ephraim Waxman Shlita. It's based on a short phrase in the Megillah, and it's unbelievable the way he explained it. Okay, so the last couple of minutes of this year, I'm borrowing from Rabbi Waxman. It's an amazing insight. In Esther, in source number 8, At the very end, Haman's about to meet his downfall. The Jews are about to be saved. Everything is about to be fully overturned. Va'yomer Charvona echad min asarisim lifnei ha-melech. Charvona speaks up. This mysterious character in the Megillah, Charvona speaks up. And he says before Ahasuerus, "Hinei ha'etz asher asa Haman leMordechai." You know, there's this gallows, there's this tree, there's this contraption that's been created by Haman with the intention to kill Mordechai. And who is this Mordechai? How does Charvona describe Mordechai? Look at the next couple of words. Asher diber tov al ha-melech. Ahasuerus, you know who Mordechai is. He's the one who saved your life. Asher diber tov al ha-melech. The one who spoke good about you, Ahasuerus. And Ahasuerus nods along in that moment and he says, take Haman out and hang Haman from those gallows. Charvona, this mysterious character, some say he's Eliyahu HaNavi in disguise, all sorts of interesting traditions. Who was this Charvona? Charvona says, Mordechai is a good guy. You know why Mordechai is a good guy? Asher diber tov al ha-melech. Explained by Ephraim Waxman. That phrase, Asher diber tov al ha-melech, is our mission statement to eradicate Amalek from our lives. To continue to be diber tov al ha-melech means to say good things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it's hard to say good things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be able to go through life saying gam zu letova when it doesn't feel so letova. To say good on Hashem. When the world is talking about how everything is falling apart and we're living in such uncertain times and there's so much destruction and there's so much fear. To be able to say with confidence diber tova al ha-melech, to say good on the melech malchei amlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To say something good about Hashem. You realize how meaningful that is? You know how real that is in terms of expressing one's bitachon? To not fall into that amalek trap of sadness and negativity and despair, how nothing's ever going to work out for me. To be able to say, Hashem is good and His plan is good and Hashem knows what He's doing. That's how you destroy Haman. That's literally what happens in the Megillah. Haman dies in the next couple of words. When Mordechai, the one who spoke, the tzaddik, who was going through a really hard time, whose wife was taken hostage by Ahasuerus himself. And yet he still spoke good. He still said good about Ahasuerus. Asher diber tov al ha-melech. To not complain. When Aaron HaKohen loses his two children, a tragedy, vayidom Aaron, that Aaron was able to what? To not say bad. He wasn't able to say good in that moment, but at least he didn't say something bad about Hashem. He kept silent in that moment. He was able to have the self-control to say, you know what? As Chazal say, Vayidom Aaron. Aaron kept quiet because he had what to say. He could have been very angry at God. He had a lot of complaints to issue. And yet Aaron said, I have to bite my tongue because I know Hashem knows what He's doing. Because Hashem is real and Bitachon is real and Aaron lives with that. And therefore he had the self-control to not, God forbid, say badly about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. As opposed to Haman HaRasha, whose life is so successful. He's rich, he's powerful, he has a beautiful family, and yet he sees one thing in his life that doesn't go the way that he wants, namely Mordechai's refusal to bow to him. And Haman says out loud, V'chol zeh einenu shova li. My life is terrible. Because of the one thing he doesn't yet have. That's an utter rejection of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's not believing that there's someone grander and bigger than you who's running the show. Where you can have so much success, and all you see is the thing that you don't yet have, that robs a person of bitachon, of simcha, of shleimus, and menuchas ha-nefesh. There's a story, there was a group of chassidim that were traveling. And on the train, as they're traveling, these chassidim, each one singing the praise of his Rebbe, his particular, you know, Rebbe that he's a follower of. Everyone's telling amazing stories. Oh, my Rebbe did this type of miracle. My Rebbe did a miracle. They turn to one of the fellows who's sitting there. A chassid, a businessman, a chassid of the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. And they said, Nu, do you have a miracle story about your Rebbe? So he says, you want to hear a mofes? You want to hear a miracle story about my Rebbe? I'll tell you an unbelievable miracle story about my Rebbe. So they got all excited. So he says, I had a large sum of money, and I was deciding how to invest it. And I went to the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I asked him, should I invest it in this business? And the Rebbe said, absolutely, it's a great investment. I was nervous about it. I went back a second time. I asked him, Rebbe, are you sure? Yes, yes, no, it's a good investment. It's a good investment. I went to him a third time. I went to him 3 days in a row and I asked him, does this make sense? Is this a good investment? And each time my Rebbe said to me, it's a good investment. So I said, okay, so what happened? He said, I lost every penny. I lost all the money. So now they were really interested. So they said to him, they said, so what was the miracle? He said it was a miracle story. He says, it is. It's a mo-face. It was a mo-face. He says, what was the miracle? They said to him, what was the miracle? He said, I'll tell you the miracle. The miracle was that I remained the chassid of the Rebbe Rashab after losing all my money. That was the miracle. And I didn't give up on my Rebbe. That was the miracle in the story. Rabbi Ephraim Waxman said, we're chassidim of Hashem. We're followers of Hashem. And it's miraculous sometimes that we stick it out after all that we've been through. But that's what bitachon is. Bitachon is not trusting in Hashem when everything works out. Bitachon is saying, I'm walking like Avram Avinu. I don't know exactly where I'm going. I don't understand how this works. And despite my pain, asher diber tov al ha-melech. Hashem, I celebrate. I celebrate what you do. I know that you're so good. I know that you have a plan. And that's really the avodah of Purim. That's the punchline. That's really what we're striving for on Purim. In the final two sources, the Gemara says, Rava says in the Gemara in Megillah, Mechayiv inish libesume bepuraya. A person is expected to become intoxicated on Purim ad lo yalda, until we lose our das. Not recommending what you should or shouldn't drink on Purim, but there is such an idea in the Gemara. A person should throw away their mind on Purim. Why would I throw away my mind? My mind is one of my greatest possessions, the great gift of knowledge, the ability to think and reason. But one day a year, I have to put aside my own way of thinking and just lean into a Kadosh Baruch Hu, just to trust Hashem, without any of my own calculations, without any of my own understanding, to put it all aside and to remind myself, well, yes, there's a deep partnership between me and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm expected to work with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I have to use my mind and my intellect and my resources and my talents and my ability to try to advocate for myself, to be mishtadel, to put in the effort. But one day a year, I remind myself, I don't run the world. Hashem runs the world. Rav Hutner says in the final source, such a beautiful idea. Rav Hutner says, we know that there is, in fact, a mitzvah of bitachon. And there's also a mitzvah of hishtadlus. Where does the Torah grant us permission? It's a good question to know. If you don't know the source, look up this pasuk. It's in Parshas Re'eh, Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Yud Ches. Okay, Devarim, chapter 15, verse 18. Tes Vav Yud Ches, Parshas Re'eh. You know what it says there? It says that Hashem will bless you in all that you do. Uveiracha Hashem Elokecha b'chol asher ta'aseh. Rav Hutner says that is the source that we're allowed to do, and we will receive blessing for doing. We work, and Hashem pays us according to our efforts. We're allowed to work. We're supposed to work. We're supposed to put in human efforts. But Rav Hutner says, but there's one mitzvah in some very funny, vina hafachu, ironic kind of way, that we're told to do, and yet we can't do it. You know what that mitzvah is? Says Rav Hutner, it's the mitzvah of eradicating Amalek. Hashem says to us, Timcha ezecher Amalek. I charge each and every one of you with removing evil from the world. That's Hashem's mission statement to us. It's our job, hishtadlus, our effort, our human effort. But then you read the Torah carefully, says Rav Hutner, and you look around, and all of a sudden you notice, wait a minute, but Hashem, you also said, Emcha, I will eradicate Amalek. So whose job is it? And Rav Hutner says, Hashem winks at us and says, that's the secret of Purim. And in some ways, that's the secret of your whole life. Be mishtadel, do your part. Try to get the job, try to get the date, try to get the opportunity, try to get whatever it is that you're striving for, try to get the shalom bayis or the financial success or whatever it is that we think we need or want or desire, in accordance with our timeline, Hashem says, I give you permission to try to get it. Go for it. Believe in yourself and go for it. But a little bit in the back of your mind, that's the secret of eradicating a malik. Continue to be, even when it's not working out, continue to speak good about the Melech Malchei Amlachim, like Mordechai. And remind yourself that as much as Hashem told you, Timcha, Hashem also said, Emcha, I'm the only one who can really call the shots. I'm the only one who can remove Amalek. I'm the only one who can really bring the Geula. And I have a plan for you. So be like Avram Avinu, hold my hand, and let's travel together to the Aretz Asharak. So I give each and every one of us a bracha. Mishnechlas other marbin b'simcha. Again, simcha and bitachon are partners. To the degree that we rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'maisa, not theoretically, but make choices in our life to show that I am a person who walked with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We should be blessed to have lives that are filled with simcha, filled with shleimus, and Hashem should answer all of the desires of each and every one of us.
Reminder two.